You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.
From 90.7 WMFE News, good morning. I'm Tom Parkinson with a special report on the final launch of Space Shuttle Endeavour. Everything is on track for liftoff from Kennedy Space Center at 8:56 this morning. Just a few minutes from now, this is scheduled to be the last flight for Endeavour and the next to last shuttle flight ever before the space shuttle program ends later this year. This is NASA's second attempt to launch the shuttle. The first try just over 2 weeks ago was canceled at just a few hours before the scheduled launch because of an electrical problem. 90.7's Judith Smeltzer is at Kennedy Space Center and she joins us now live. Judith, how are things looking out there?
Tom, it looks great out here. There are a few scattered clouds around here at Kennedy Space Center, and of course NASA's watching those, but right now they're saying the weather is going to support a liftoff, it looks like. The problem that you mentioned with the electrical problem has not cropped up during this countdown. That, like you said, that happened about 4 hours before launch last time, and certainly we're well past that point. So right now there's a lot of anticipation, people very excited. Everybody's moving out outside to get a look at the last launch of Endeavour.
Now, there had been some concerns earlier about wind. What is the wind like?
It's not windy today, and in fact, I was here for the first launch try a couple of weeks ago, and it was quite gusty, and even given that fact, they had told us that had it not been for that electrical problem, the weather would have been fine to launch. You never know. Winds could come up at the last minute, and they'll be monitoring those up for the next 6 minutes or so until launch, but right now, it feels fairly calm, at least sitting where I've sat.
Tell us a little bit more about that problem that forced the scrub last time. Is NASA confident that that's all been taken care of?
Yeah, well, the problem was with some heaters for some fuel lines that go to the shuttle's hydraulic system. The heaters were supposed to make sure that the fuel doesn't freeze, and those heaters were not working properly leading up to that last launch. And technicians traced this problem back to a power switch box. It's kind of like the fuse box inside your house. It's about the size of a shoe box. So they took it out, they put in a new box, and they're still actually not sure exactly what caused the problem, but they've replaced so many components. They're confident that they have switched out enough components that it won't happen again. Here's NASA's Mike Moses speaking about it at a press briefing last week.
We've replaced everything except the heaters, and we've wrung those out with at least five separate checks and full functionals afterwards, and now have extremely high confidence that the problem is no longer on the ship or in any of the electronics.
So why did it take so long to fix the problem, Judith? The launch was delayed for more than 2 weeks.
Well, a big part of the reason is because that box controls the power for a lot more things than just those fuel line heaters. It controls dozens and dozens of different components. So when they switched out the box, they then had to go back and retest everything that that box controls. And that took a long time. It took a long time to troubleshoot it, and it took a long time to do the retests. But now they're confident that that's not going to be a problem any longer.
Okay, good. Also, last time NASA tried to launch Endeavour a couple of weeks ago, there were some big VIPs in attendance. Are they coming back this time?
Well, one of them is and some of them aren't. President Obama was here last time, two weeks ago and a bit, with his family, and they were hoping to see the launch. He would have been the first sitting president to watch a shuttle launch in a long time, and he wasn't able to come back today. But Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords is back today. She is the wife of the Shuttle Endeavour's commander, Mark Kelly. Of course, Congresswoman Giffords was badly injured in that Tucson shooting back in January. Her doctors gave her the okay to come and watch the launch, and she is here. Apparently she got here yesterday down to Florida, and she will be here watching the liftoff.
And she has plenty of company out on the Space Coast today. Some crowd estimates for Endeavour's first launch attempt 2 weeks ago were as high as 700,000. Not all those people, as you said, Judith, are coming back today, but there are still hundreds of thousands of people on hand to see this next-to-last shuttle launch ever. We're going now to Central Florida News 13's Margaret Cavanaugh. She's at Spaceview Park in Titusville. Margaret, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Tom. It's packed out here, a lot of people, hundreds of people out here at Spaceview Park. I've been out here since about 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's absolutely amazing to see these people. They've had their blankets, their tents, all their sleeping gear, their sweatshirts. It was a little cool overnight, but they were camped out, some of them for hours. And even some parents had babies out here. And when I saw some of them, it was just absolutely shocking that how old some of these babies were. Some of them very, very young, couldn't have been more than just a few months old, but many people out here just dying to see Endeavour go up. And what I've heard over and over from people over the last few weeks, that seeing a shuttle launch out here in Brevard County is something on their bucket list of things to do. It's something they want to do in their lifetime. With only two left, a lot of people very anxious, a lot of anticipation out here at Spaceview Park.
So are you hearing from a lot of people who are saying they're there for their first launch attempt?
There are several people, others that are just avid space lovers that like to come out whenever they can. Even people from other parts of the world, Sweden, Germany, Ireland, I talk to people who really base their vacation on a shuttle launch and say, hey, you know what, pack up the family, fly over to Florida. This is something they want their kids to experience and their families to experience. I've even talked to people over the last few weeks who were here the 29th, when they tried for Endeavour before, and stayed these last, you know, over 2 weeks to try to see this again. And most of those people, those snowbirds, people that are retired, they told me, you know, they're in no rush to go back, and it's just something that they're dying to see.
All right. Well, we're just a little over a minute away from launch, so we're going to go back to our Judith Smeltzer. Margaret Cavanaugh, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to special live coverage of the final launch of Space Shuttle Endeavour. I'm Tom Parkinson. Liftoff from Kennedy Space Center just moments away. We're going back now to 90.7's Judith Smeltzer, who's out there watching.
That's right, Tom. It is just over a minute to go until launch. The countdown clock is at 1 minute and 2 seconds right now. The sense of anticipation really is growing here. I'm actually sitting here with a bunch of the NASA tweeters, folks that came here to tweet out to their Twitter followers. They won a lottery to get here. They're very excited, and so is everyone else here. This is going to be, again, Endeavour's final liftoff, and let's go to mission audio here for a minute and listen in for the final count.
T-minus 31 seconds and the handoff has occurred.
25. 20.
Firing chain is armed. House suppression water system is armed. 10. Go for main engine start. 8, 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 0, and liftoff for the final launch of Endeavour, expanding our knowledge and expanding our lives in space.
Houston, Endeavour, roll program.
Roger, roll, Endeavour.
Houston is now controlling. Endeavour beginning to pull over onto its back, the roll program underway as Endeavour begins a heads down position on course for a 51.6 degree, 136 by 36 statute mile orbit. Three engines now throttling down as Endeavour passes through the area of maximum dynamic pressure on the vehicle in the lower atmosphere. Approaching 1 minute into the flight.
Endeavour, go at throttle up.
Well, it sounds like a beautiful launch.
It was, Tom. We just saw Endeavour go up and disappear fairly quickly into a bank of clouds that moved in at the last minute, but a huge, huge trail of fire streaming out the back as normal, and certainly my eyes are still burning from seeing that. It was a beautiful sight. People very excited, cheering here, and with that, Endeavour has begun its final flight, a 16-day mission to the International Space Station.
Well, Judith, let's talk a little bit about the history of Endeavour. It is the youngest ship in the shuttle fleet, I understand.
That's right. It replaced the Space Shuttle Challenger after the Challenger was lost in the accident back in 1986. It was actually built using parts that were left over from construction of Discovery and Atlantis, two of the other shuttles. The commander of this Endeavour mission, Mark Kelly, talked about that before the first launch attempt a couple of weeks ago. He says the orbiter really has come a long way.
When Endeavour came into existence, it was initially just
a bunch of spare parts that were left over. So after the Challenger accident, when we decided to build another orbiter, they started with the spare parts. And since Endeavour's first flight to this flight, it's had a really outstanding career.
So where are we now, Judith? Have we had the booster separation?
We just had the call that there was booster separation, and that is certainly an important milestone in the flight. And then we're about 2.5 minutes into the flight right now. Everything looking good with Endeavour.
I thought it was interesting. I read this morning that today is actually the 19th anniversary of Endeavour's first return. It landed in the California desert on this date in 1992 after its very first mission. We just heard Endeavour's commander Mark Kelly talking about the shuttle's first flight. That was in 1992 then.
That's right. In 1992, NASA Shuttle Launch Director Mike Leinbach says he's actually been working with Endeavour since that very first flight. Of course, Leinbach's still working with Endeavour. He says the spacecraft is still in excellent condition.
A lot of views of Endeavour still look almost brand new. I mean, the top of the wings, the blankets on the wings still look like they just came out of the factory. And so for me, it's like retiring a friend early. And we're going to do the engineering work on this last flight like we did on the first flight. No changes there. And again, we'll be able to reflect after she lands and brings her crew home safely that was her final mission.
You're listening to... Go ahead, Judith.
That's okay. I was just going to point out, too, that Endeavour is ending its career on a round number. This is going to be its 25th flight as well. So that's one interesting statistic as well to think about. By the way, everything going well with Endeavour, Endeavour's flight. What we're waiting for here always is the main engine cutoff. That's how long it takes to get Endeavour into orbit. That'll be in about 4 minutes from now. But for right now, everything's still going well.
Now, when it comes to the actual mission, what the astronauts are going to be doing while they're up there, it's some pretty important stuff. And Endeavour is carrying an interesting piece of scientific cargo to the International Space Station this time.
It's a $2 billion physics experiment that scientists hope will provide some clues to the origins of the universe. Of course, there's some controversy around that. Some scientists don't think it will actually be able to do that. Well, NPR's science correspondent Nell Greenfield-Boyce looked into the details. Let's listen to this report that she filed.
The instrument is the Alpha Magnetic Spectrometer, or AMS. A few years ago, physicist Drew Baden of the University of Maryland got to see it as it was being assembled. He says it was the size of a bus and looked a bit like the old Sputnik satellite.
It's got sort of a cylindrical geometry, and it's got legs, and it's all shiny and, you know, silvery.
Its high-tech innards are a big magnet and detectors to measure cosmic rays. These are charged particles that zoom through space. The AMS will sift through them, looking for strange things like primordial antimatter created during the Big Bang and the mysterious dark matter thought to make up much of our universe. To Baden, the instrument was gorgeous.
It was just beautiful. I thought it was beautiful just thinking about the engineering that went into it and the amount of time it took and the planning. Wow, I mean, that human beings could accomplish this kind of thing is really impressive.
One human being in particular was a Nobel Prize-winning physicist named Sam Ting of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. For more than 16 years, he's been the driving force behind this project, leading hundreds of researchers in more than a dozen countries. Ting never gave up, not even in the wake of the Space Shuttle Columbia disaster, when NASA officials went back on their promise to take the AMS up into space. Ting lobbied relentlessly until the mission got reinstated. At a press conference yesterday, Ting said no one knows what the AMS might discover.
To a scientist, the most exciting objective of AMS is to probe the unknown, to search for phenomena which exist in nature that we have not yet imagined nor have the tool to discover.
But some physicists are not expecting any breakthroughs.
I just think that this experiment was a tremendous expenditure of money that wasn't justified.
Gregory Tarlay is a physics professor at the University of Michigan. He says the AMS cost an estimated $2 billion, but went forward without first getting widespread support from the physics community. He says its original purpose was to find primordial antimatter, but more recent research shows there's no way it will find any.
the justification for doing this kind of physics is pretty much evaporated.
And while it will look for evidence of dark matter, Tarlay says its results won't be conclusive. Despite the controversy, physicists say they are interested in seeing what the AMS will do. Sheldon Glashow is a Nobel Prize-winning physicist at Boston University. He says it's a powerful instrument.
Let's put it up into the sky. I think it would be absolutely catastrophically stupid to not put it up in the sky. It will finally be true that there will be real science on the space station, something that has never been true before. It's been like high school experiments and a bunch of silliness.
After Endeavour gets to the space station, astronauts will use robotic arms to attach the AMS to the orbiting lab, where it will stay for a decade or more, taking in the cosmic rays. Nell Greenfield Boyce, NPR News.
And we just heard from Nell Greenfield Boyce. Our 90.7's Judith Smeltzer is at the Cape. Judith, what's going on out there?
Well, we are just a few seconds away from main engine cutoff. That is when Endeavour will officially be in orbit. Let's listen in to NASA and see if we can hear them make that all-important call. It should be coming in just about 5 seconds now.
And main engine cutoff has been confirmed.
And with that, that means that Endeavour is officially in orbit around the Earth and on its way to the International Space Station. Everything looking great with Endeavour's final flight, Tom.
That's great. And as I said, we just heard from NPR's Nell Greenfield Boyce about the special experiment, the Alpha Magnetic Spectrometer, the physics experiment that Endeavour is taking up to the space station. What else are they going to be doing during this mission?
Well, they're going to be doing several spacewalks, four different spacewalks. They're going to be taking up quite a lot of spare parts on to the space station. The space shuttle is the only spacecraft that is big enough to take up some of the big hardware that needs to be on the space station. So they're trying to get as much of that as they can up before the final flight. The final flight is coming up later this summer on Atlantis. There will also be four spacewalks. And interestingly, those will be the last spacewalks ever performed by a space shuttle crew. There's some spacewalks planned for the Atlantis mission, but they'll be done by the space station crew. So these are the last ones that any actual shuttle crew member will do, and lots of different milestones like this being marked as the shuttle program winds down.
And as you said, Judith, Endeavour is on its final mission. What's going to happen next for the shuttle program?
Well, for one thing, here's what happens next to Endeavour. Endeavour gets to retire to California, not to Florida. It's going to be going on display at the California Science Center in Los Angeles. NASA announced just recently where the shuttles were going to be going, and Kennedy Space Center does get to keep a shuttle. They get to keep Space Shuttle Atlantis after its final mission later this summer, but Endeavour is going to be going to California. All three of the shuttles will be retired, and the Smithsonian in D.C. is going to get a Discovery. And then there'll be a period of some degree of uncertainty. NASA will be sending cargo up to the space station, also sending astronauts, but they'll be using the Russian Soyuz spacecraft instead of the shuttle. So a lot of people don't like that idea very much, but that is the plan for right now.
So where are we at now? We're about the shuttle is now on its own. It has separated, and it's now circling, it's starting its circling of the planet.
Well, that's absolutely right, and it's going to be heading to the International Space Station. This is a 16-day mission. It was originally going to start out to be a 14-day mission, but they had decided to add a couple of extra days to give them some time to do some extra work on it. And, you know, we were talking about the end of the space shuttle program. It means the end of an era for the shuttles, but it also means a lot of people who work at Kennedy Space Center, of course, also are going to be out of work. Especially the contractors, hundreds of contractors have been laid off already. Most are with United Space Alliance. That's, of course, the main shuttle contractor. Thousands more are going to be losing their jobs after that last flight of Atlantis later this summer. Shuttle launch director Mike Leinbach reflected on all of this recently when he was asked at a press conference about his feelings on Endeavour's last flight and the end of the shuttle era. Here's what he had to say.
I went out to the launch pad a couple of weeks ago and saw Endeavour for the last time in the vertical. And, you know, there were some times where I was standing on the deck of the launcher looking up at her and just thinking, this is the last time I'm going to see that vehicle at this launch pad ever. And that begins to sink home. The other thing that sinks home is, and I've talked about it a little bit before, Bill, is the workforce. And the effects to the workforce, the effects on the workforce from the end of the program, principally on the contractor side, a lot of my close friends are United Space Alliance employees, and they all work, and a lot of them work in the Launch Control Center with me. And I walk up and down the halls and say hello to them every day, and we have lunch together, and we play golf, as I said. And by and large, most of them are going to be gone in another 3 or 4 months, sometime this summer, whenever that final layoff really hits. And so I see the Launch Control Center, which has been such a beehive of activity since it was built back in the Apollo days, actually, that's going to be, I won't say empty, but it's going to be a heck of a lot more empty than it is today, and it'll be a lot less fun to be working in because there won't just be that excitement of working on the shuttle program anymore.
And that's Shuttle Launch Director Mike Leinbach. Judith, he talked about the Launch Center for the next program. What's next for NASA?
Well, as I said, it's going to be interesting to see. The plan is for NASA to focus on things like getting to Mars, getting to asteroids, going to beyond low Earth orbit and leaving the low Earth orbit to commercial companies. Some people are skeptical that commercial companies will be able to step up, but that's the plan going forward, and we will certainly have to wait and see how it all plays out over the next few years.
All right, 90.7's Judith Smeltzer live from Kennedy Space Center. Thank you very much, Judith.
Thanks, Tom.
You've been listening to live special coverage of the final launch of Space Shuttle Endeavour here on 90.7 WMFE-FM. It's 10 minutes past 9.